chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8 and reading down to the end of the letter. Second Peter chapter 3 and reading from verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Please keep your Bibles open at this passage in the Word of God. It is tragic. It is really tragic when a person thinks of himself or herself, thinks, I have nothing to look forward to. Thinks in relation to themselves. There's nothing that I have to look forward to anymore. There are no bright prospects on the horizon to brighten up my life. There is seemingly no light at the end of the tunnel, or if there be a light, as the cynics would say, it is the light of an approaching train. And you know, there are a lot of people in our broken world and our broken society who are feeling like that this very, very day. Maybe even some people who have been partying during this holiday weekend. They've got up this morning and felt the emptiness of their existence and thought to themselves, what is there for me to look forward to? People perhaps who have experienced crushing disappointments, bitter losses, fading powers. There are many people who do think there's nothing to look forward to. That's a bleak way to be. And let's be honest. Sometimes, you and I, the people of God, who have the Word of God, who have the Gospel, sometimes you and I, after a bad week, or maybe a bad few weeks, when things have been going so wrong for us, when everything we touch seems to fall to pieces in our hands, sometimes you and I, let's be honest, can begin to think like that as well, can't we? Nothing to look forward to. I think that's one reason why this passage here is very good medicine for us. If ever we begin to think like that, feel like that, this passage says to us more than once, if you're a Christian today, you have so much to look forward to. You have so much to look forward to. Yes, you have. So, so much. Especially, we'll be thinking, the fact you can look forward to the home of righteousness amidst a world so full of unrighteousness, injustice, and wickedness. We can look forward one day to a home where righteousness reigns and righteousness dwells. The coming of this home is linked, of course, to a very important event. And that's the day of the Lord. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is how the day of the Lord will come. How the day of the Lord will come. Look at verse 10. Stated very plainly, isn't it? The day of the Lord, of course, is derived from the Old Testament. It's referred to, or is portrayed as a day of great judgment. It's clearly referring to the day of judgment, when the Lord will come to judge the living and the dead, to judge this world in righteousness. We're told here how this day will come, what the manner of its coming will be like. We're told the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Like a thief. I don't think it's too hard for us to understand what the Word of God is saying to us about this. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 2, the other reference there, the next reference, says it's going to come like a thief in the night. Adds another phrase to it. Jesus himself says this to his disciples in Luke 12, 39 and 40. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Do you see the point of the picture here? Like a thief. When a thief comes to rob your house, he doesn't announce it over the radio waves or put it on the television adverts. He doesn't send you a text to your mobile home. I will be calling tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. to raid your house and take away all your belongings. He doesn't give you a phone call. He doesn't send you an email. He doesn't make an appointment. He comes to rob your house suddenly and unexpectedly. And that's what Jesus is saying here about the day of the Lord. The Lord, of course, the Lord Jesus is not a thief. He's not got that kind of character. But it's just saying the day of the Lord is going to come suddenly and unexpectedly. And it's going to catch a lot of people out. It's going to catch a lot of people that are not ready for it. Not prepared to meet the judge of all the earth. Not prepared to meet the Lord when he comes in his glory. That's the point. God's word is saying to you and to I today, be watchful. Be on the lookout. Be prepared for the coming of that great day. Don't lose sight of it. Don't forget about it. Don't get so caught up with the things of this world that you're not ready for it when it comes. But it'll come suddenly. Like a thief. It's all the more important for us to be ready for this day when we realize, as the second thing here says, point B, this day will involve a great upheaval, great judgment upon the present heavens and the earth. We looked at this last week, so I'm not going to spend much time on it, but I just want you to notice the three strong phrases used here in relation to what will happen to the presence, heavens and earth. Disappearance, destruction, being laid bare. The older translation reads as follows, in the authorized version. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. It's bringing home to us, is not, the solemnity, in some sense the awfulness of this judgment day will bring the present heavens and earth to destruction. A day when all must stand before the judge. So how important for us to be looking out for that day. To be ready for it. Especially ensuring that you and I do know the Lord Jesus. That through trusting in his finished work, we have the forgiveness of our sins. And when that day comes, we'll be ready to stand before him. To know that we will not be condemned. But accept it in the Beloved. Are you ready if that day were to come? It can come suddenly. Come unexpectedly. Are you ready? Have you made your peace with God? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin? That's the only way you'll ever be ready for this day. For the day of the Lord will come like a thief. In the light of that, it also, God's word here says to us, secondly, how you therefore ought to live. How you therefore ought to live. Verse 11 contains a striking question. What kind of people ought you to be in the light of the coming of the day of the Lord? In the light of the destruction of the present heavens and the earth? In the light of the coming judgment over all the earth? What kind of people ought you to be? That's an important question. That's a good question. That's a question you and I need to think about. There are many people who don't really think about it very much. What kind of person ought I to be? Well, maybe people will think I ought to be a good citizen. And that's good as far as it goes. I ought to obey the law of the land and be a good citizen. I ought to be a good neighbour. Many people will think that all right. What does God's word say we ought to be? What answer is given here? What should be foremost in your mind and in mine when we think of what kind of person ought I to be? Well, it's very plainly set forth, isn't it? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Here's what I ought to be doing. Here's what I should be striving for. Here's what I should be aiming for. A holy and godly life. Is that in your mind? Is that your aim? Is that your goal? Is that your ambition? I want to live a holy and godly life. I want to be more holy. I want to be more godly. Because I know the day of judgment is coming. In fact, it says here there will be a good effect of such godly and holy living. This is a bit puzzling at first sight. Do you see what it says the effect of this will be if you live a holy and godly life? As you look forward, verse 12, to the day of God, and speed its coming. And speed the coming of the day of God. How can we speed the coming of the day of God? That day is set. The Lord in his sovereign wisdom and knowledge, he has set that day. We don't know what day it is, but he has set it. It's not going to be changed. It's not going to be brought forward. It's not going to be delayed. It's set, firmly fixed. It's known to the Lord himself. And so in what sense can you and I speed the coming of the day of the Lord? It's a bit puzzling at first sight, isn't it? How should we understand this? Well, is it not simply saying this, that your holy living, your godly living, your prayers and your witness to this lost world, that's all tied up with the outworking of and the accomplishment of God's purposes of salvation. You and I need to be faithful, it's saying, to live godly lives as a godly example and be good witnesses. For through our godly lives, the Lord will be working out his purposes to save his chosen people. And the Lord will not return until all his chosen people are saved, until the gospel has been proclaimed to the whole world. So it's saying the accomplishment of God's purposes is tied up with what you and I do with our lives and serving him, living holy and godly lives. It says we're to do so as we look forward to the day of God. I wonder, do we do that? Do you and I do that enough? Nowadays, I think it's true to say, more and more we're being encouraged to live just for the present moment. Just for the here and now. Just for the day that's in it. I don't know if there are any Vodafone network people here today who use the Vodafone network. They have some very interesting adverts. I'm not sure they're proclaiming a philosophy. I think they're trying to think of catchy phrases to sell their network to their customers. They do come up with some very striking phrases. For example, there's one, set yourself free. I hope I'm not going to promote Vodafone too much today here. Set yourself free. Or live life on 4G. Here's the one I found particularly interesting. It was an advert, and it showed, I think it was Lewis Hamilton or some other racing driver in it. Make the most of now. Make the most of now. That was its message. Now, of course, there's a level of truth in that. We make the most of every day that God gives us. We're not to waste time here. But the view seems to be that's all that really matters. That's the most important thing. That's all that really matters. The now, the present moment. I think it's echoed by another quotation I have here. This quotation is not from a great philosopher, in case you think so. It's the fellow here is Louis Tomlinson. I don't know if that rings a bell to him here. He's not some great philosopher. He's actually, or was, still is it, a member of the band One Direction, very popular music band. And if you happen to Google the phrase living for the present moment, instead of getting some statement by some great philosopher coming up front, one of the first things you come across is this: live for the moment because everything else is uncertain. Louis Tomlinson. Now, he may be a good musician, but can he really impart us wisdom about how we're to live our lives? And what influence he'll have. What influence he'll have when he says this, will not young people who like his music will say, well, that's all there is. Got to live everything for the moment because everything else is uncertain. Got to just live for the now. Grab everything you can. Get as much pleasure out of life now at this moment because everything else is uncertain. I think there's a lot of that way of thinking in our world. And of course, there's a lot of uncertainty about tomorrow. You and I do not know what a day will bring forth. That's true. Many things are uncertain. But we do, as Christians, we are given certainty about some particular things. And here's one in the Word of God today that we should have certainty about. So we don't just live for the now or for the moment, but we live in light of what is to come. The coming of the day of God. And more than that, we should have certainty about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that certainty should shape your life and mine. We should live in the light of it. It should enable us and spur us on to live more holy and godly lives. Or as verse 14 says, make every effort. And that's a strong phrase was used earlier in the book of Peter as well, 2 Peter. Make every effort or be diligent to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. That's a high standard to aim for, isn't it? To make every effort that you can through prayer, through the Word of God, through fellowship with believers,
to make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him when he appears. Here's for you to ponder. Are you making every effort to live a holy and godly life? Are you making good use of the scriptures, the word of God? Are you prayerful? Do you value as much as you should the fellowship with God's people, that you may grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? In the light of the coming of the day of the Lord, you therefore ought to live holy and godly lives. That's the kind of people you ought to be. Then coming back to the thought of what we have to look forward to. Look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look forward to the judgment of ungodliness in this earth. Then something very, very glorious is emphasized in verse 13. We have so much to look forward to. Here's what we have to look forward to. A new heaven and a new earth. That's so big, isn't it? That's a huge thing when you think about it. This phrase, we could just use it and would pass us by. But a new heaven and a new earth, you've that to look forward to if you're a Christian today. Of course, this is a fulfillment of the promise of God. That's referred to in the passage. Can't you see it there? In keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to new heaven and new earth. It's not just wishful thinking. It's based on the promise of God. Where is that promise found? Well, it's found at least in two places in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 65 verse 17 reads, "Behold," says the Lord. The Lord is saying this, "Behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth." And something similar is said in Isaiah 66 and verse 22. And the actual coming into being of that new heaven and new earth is portrayed in the closing chapters of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, in terms of the coming down from heaven of the holy heavenly city of Jerusalem. You and I rightly tend to think of salvation in relation to our personal welfare and well-being. Saved from my sins. That's a wonderful fact. That's so crucial and so important. But it's important for you and I also, in the light of God's word, to have a broader and wider view of God's great work of salvation. For it's good news not only for lost sinners. It's good news for a fallen and broken world. For although the present heavens and earth will be destroyed, out of them will emerge a new heaven and a new earth by the power and might of Almighty God. Romans 8 verses 19-21. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Romans 8 verse speaks of the hope that the creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. You see, God's work of salvation undoes all that went wrong in the garden. For there not only did Adam and Eve fall out of relationship with God, but affected the whole earth. The whole earth is broken and it will be restored. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. How great the saving work of God is. And then something in particular about this new heaven and new earth that should really cause you and I to rejoice today. What is it in particular? How is it described? There's a further phrase used. Did you notice it there? In verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to new heaven and new earth. The home of righteousness. Where righteousness dwells. Isn't that good news? Think, and here I have a picture of what is in our current world, if you like. There's so much of this. Isn't there so much of murder, so much of violence, so much of lust, so much of greed, so much of hatred, spoiling and marring this world and destroying human harmony and togetherness? There's so much of it. The world is full of it.
one day there will be a new heavens, a new earth,
from which all unrighteousness will be excluded, banished, shut out. Revelation 21 verse 27, speaking of the entry of that which will enter into the city, the heavenly city of Jerusalem. Nothing impure will ever enter into it. Nothing impure. Nothing impure will ever enter into it. Unrighteous people will not enter into it. Only those who have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. And all of this horrible stuff that spoils our current world and affects us all, none of that will be part of it. It will be excluded. For that new heaven, the new earth, will be the home of righteousness. I was thinking about how much we tend to look forward to moving into a new home. Some of you have had that experience recently. It is one of the big things in life, isn't it? You get married. Or maybe you move out of a smaller home into a bigger home when your family is expanded or you've got a bit more money in your bank. And you look forward to it, don't you? This new home, it's fresh. A whole new beginning, a new home for us to move into and to enjoy. It's an exciting thing, isn't it? Most of us have experienced it in some stage. But look here, this home is far better, far, far better. This home that the Lord has in store for his beloved people, for sinners who have been saved by his grace. How much unrighteousness prevails in our current world. How wonderful it will be to live in the presence of a righteous Lord and in the company of righteous people. So yes, there'll be days, I'm sure, in our vulnerable experience, in our weakness, that you and I may be tempted to think, or even perhaps to say, there's nothing for me to look forward to. That's why we need the Word of God, to lift our vision, to open our eyes, to remind us we have so, so much to look forward to. Even a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, all made possible by the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Hear the word of God and look forward in the light of God's promise and his word. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Amen. Our closing psalm is Psalm 99a, stanzas 1 to 4 and stanza 8. We're going to sing to the tune Main 113. Speaks of the righteousness of the Lord, stanza 3. In strength the king loves justice, he established equity. Justice and righteousness by you and Jacob will be done. The Lord's servant will reflect the Lord's character. The king will see that righteousness is done. Then there's the reminder that the God whom we worship is the Holy One. The Holy One. We are to seek to live holy and godly lives, therefore, as his servants. So do exalt the Lord our God, stanza 8, and at his holy hill, O worship him, because the Lord our God is holy still. Psalm 99a, 1 to 4, and stanza 8. Let us stand and let us sing praise to our God.
What a great and all.
Gracious God, we confess and admit today that there are times in our lives when we can think very negatively about the future, where we can even begin to think or to say there's nothing at all to look forward to. Lord, forgive us for our lack of vision and our lack of faith. Forgive us for the times when we lose sight of these precious truths from your word that we've considered today. And help us to be people who look forward keenly and eagerly to the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness. In the light of that, help us more and more make every effort to live holy and godly lives in this present world. Now may the blessing of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.